Today's topic is nonverbal communication. If there's one yesod which Rav Orlovich Shlita discusses all the time, maybe more often than anything else, it's nonverbal communication. You have to get his books. You have to get his books. Number one, My Child, My Disciple. Number two, Raising Roses Among Thorns. You got to get those two books and read them. And in both of those books, he emphasizes this principle of nonverbal communication. And we talk to our kids with words, we talk to our spouses with words, and we also talk with our actions. I'll focus today mostly on children, but a lot of this applies as well to marriage. Okay, number one, it's not only what you say, it's how you say it. It's how you say it. When you're talking to your kids, you smile. It's a good thing to train yourself to smile when you talk to people, and especially talking to your kids. So your kids feel, hey, Abba's actually happy to talk to me. Smiles at me when we talk. Tone of voice. Do you sound annoyed or do you sound calm and pleasant? Now, it makes a difference. You're going to talk to your kids, Be'ezrat Hashem, thousands of times, and if you sound annoyed or sound pleasant, they're going to notice the difference. Touch. When you talk to your kids, to rub their cheek as you talk to them, or rub their back. There's no 2-second rule with your kids. Okay. You can, when you talk to your kids, a good habit to get into. Very good habit to get into. Not just what you say, but how you say it. And this happens all the time. Well, you're saying, of course that's what you're supposed to do. Well, yeah. But you're busy, you're tired, you may have lost a client at work that day, so you're in a bit of a bad mood because you lost a big client. You were hoping to send a big check to order Rabbi Ginsburg's, B'ezrat Hashem, 11 books by then, 11 book set. And then suddenly you lost a client. That was a joke I just made. You lost a client and you can't order the books, so you're depressed. What's Rebbe going to think? Or whatever. Anyway, so even if you're down about something, you're not, you still have to try to be pleasant and talk with a positive tone of voice to your kids. You don't bring the tension home. You don't bring the anger home. That's why the books advise, like, you know, your car ride home. You make it, some people listen to relaxing music. I listen to enjoyable shiurim. Listening to Rav Schechter puts me in a good mood. Baruch Hashem, just so you're not crocheting me. Okay, good. On the way in, on the way in today, I listened to a shiur and a half. Fabulous stuff. Ah. But it's a good vort. On the way home, you got the negativity out of your system. Okay. Number two, it's not what you say, but who you are to your kids that matters more. Now, this is a major yesod. A person yells at his kids all the time. Or a person stomps around. A person is always out of control. Well, if you're an out of control parent, so you're saying to your kids non-verbally, I am not in control of myself. That's what you're saying. So kids pick up, well, kids know that. That's not a good thing. So your kids lose respect for you. So you can talk all you want. But if you then act in a way, you know, think about this one. One of your kids is in a fight with another, and he yells at him. So Reuven yells at Shimon. So you say, Reuven, why do you always yell when you're upset with someone? You hear that? You think about that? Think about that example.
I did.
Happens all the time. You don't get it? You get it. Okay. It happens all the time in real life. Think about it. It's like, but that happens all the time. That's nonverbal. You're saying to your kids, I don't practice what I preach. And now, guys, I'm talking to myself. We're not perfect here. You got it, but you have to be aware of this. Who are you to your kids? How do your kids view you? Do your kids look up to you? Abba has good mitos. He presents things the right way. I want to listen to what he has to say, or not. Very, very important. There's a great story in Rabbi Fran's book, Rabbi Fran Shlita, one of his first books. I think he has two or three books on the Parsha, or in print. Here's the story. He lives a few blocks from the yeshiva, and he was walking to the yeshiva from his house, and it was a hot day, and he remembered that he forgot to bench. Oh no! And the halacha is, you have devarim hatunim brach rein bimkolam. You have to bench read, with very few exceptions. So first he said, "Oh, maybe I did bench," and he said, "No, I know I didn't bench. I really forgot." Then he's a talmid chacham. He's a big talmid chacham. He's thinking, maybe I've been excused. I don't have to go home. I can bench here, bench there. I can do this. He said, "No, it's not going to work. I don't want to." So he turned around. He went home to bench. So his daughter was around. This is in the book. And his daughter said, Abba, you're not home now. Why are you home now? I thought you went for yeshiva. He said, I forgot to bench. I had to come bench at home. She said, you walk back in the heat? And he said, yeah. So he said, he there's a line in the book. I forget the words he used. I scored a big one that day. In other words, you tell your kids, take benching seriously, take halacha seriously, bench out loud, bench from a sitter. It's very nice to talk that way. But when he took benching seriously, and he walked home in the heat to bench at home, and his daughter saw that, woo! Show by example. That's worth more than all of the schmoozing. You got it? Very important. Nonverbal communication. You talk to your kids by how you act to them. I can't emphasize this enough. It comes up in real life literally all the time. All the time. I gave an example last week, I think. Okay, fine. Number three, one of the best forms of nonverbal communication is hugs. Get in the habit of hugging your kid. Your children. Yeah, but I'm not a huggy type of guy. I don't know. A lot of boys in my family, we don't hug so much. And hug. So, right? That's what you're saying to yourself. What's the answer? What's the answer to that? Get over it and hug your kids. Is that clear? Good. Get over it and hug your kids. Classic non-verbal communication. There's a chush of a rub. Rabbi Kelman Shlita. Now, Rabbi Lady Kelman. Correct. Chush of a rub. So I once heard him give a speech, and what he does is he does something interesting. He's a learned person in Torah, certainly. He's also learned in secular knowledge. He likes to read the various psychological studies that have been done out there, and then try to glean from them things he can use for Torah purposes. He does it all the time. And he said he saw a study that a professor did somewhere. It was a 30-year study. She sent in her graduate school students to like 500 homes near where her university was, and they had a way of measuring the amount of hugs and kisses the kids get in a regular week. And they wrote it down, I guess they paid the families, we're going to observe you. Then he followed those kids. She followed those kids in their progression through their lives when they were 10 years older, 20 or 30 years later. And she claims, she wrote this in one of these journals, she found a 93% correlation. The kids that were successful emotionally, successful psychologically, solid citizens, versus the kids that had a lot of problems, with drinking and drugs, whatever, there was a 93% correlation. The more hugs and kisses, the better off they're going to be. Amazing. Ah, what about the 7%? Rav Kelman said, that's Bechir Chafshis. Yeah, Bechir Chafshis. And anyone can overcome a challenge like that. So Rav Kelman said that after he read that study, he began to give his kids hugs and kisses even more than before. And it's a very important thing. You give your kids hugs. Rav Orlovich tells a story. And he chooses to tell this story on purpose. Rav Orlovich is like a master educator. And when people have difficulties sometimes with their kids, lo'aleinu, they go to him for advice. So a couple was having trouble with one of their kids, first or second grade. So Orlovich met with the parents, met with the child, and then he called in the parents and he said, you know, your child feels, to the mother he said, like you don't love him. I feel like Yuma doesn't love me. Mommy doesn't love me. If your second grade child thinks his mother doesn't love him, that's a problem. It's not going to be good. Hey. Good. So Warwick tells us to the mother. The mother loves her kid to death. She used to write him a little note in his lunchbox every day. Dear so-and-so, have a good day. Love Ima. Love Mama. By the way, writing notes is a good thing. We'll get to that. Writing notes is a good thing. So what's the problem? The problem is the mother was very verbal, but she wasn't into hugs, and the kid needed a hug. So she is trying to express the love the right way that she wants, but it's not the way that the kid needs. Listen to this mashal. This mashal is not good. This mashal is perfect. The mother is like the 220 outlet, and the kid is a 110 appliance. So she is like showering him with love, but he's not getting it. That's not what he needs. He's 110. So what has to happen? What has to happen? Who makes the change? The adult or the six-year-old? The adult. Put that converter in. The converter, what's the gematria converter? Hugs. You hear the vort? That's a great muscle. You're the parent. You gotta make the change. You do what your kid needs. You know that fits within. It's a perfect muscle. I've always said, you gotta start hugging your kid every day. Because just because you respond to the notes of this, but he needs a hug. Woo. Very important story. Okay. Nonverbal communication. We'll go to Rav Moshe, and then we'll go to the better find my mother, should be well. And then okay. Rav Moshe, I mention this story all the time. Rav Orlovich loves this story. They once interviewed Rav Reuven Feinstein Shalita. And they said, what was it like being the son of the Gadol Hador? Like as a father. So Rav Reuven said, he told stories, and he said as follows. He mentioned a couple of things his father did for him. And one was as follows. I may have told this to you last week. Or Rav Moshe was very busy. He never had time to learn for himself. He was always running Am Yisrael, writing tshuvas. Rav Moshe would get up very early in the morning to write and to learn. How's this thing? And Rav Reuven describes that Rav Moshe would take out their clothes for the day, the freezing winter, and put them on the radiator around 20 minutes before they would get out of bed in the morning. So when Rav Moshe's kids got up and went to school in Cheder, in the Lower East Side, freezing in Manhattan, they're wearing warm clothing. You got that? What do you call that? Non-verbal communication of the Gadol Hador. Took a few minutes. It shows the kids, I'm thinking about you, I care about you, even though I don't have the time to spend 4 hours a day with you, but that's a great story. What's my addendum to the story? Remember my addendum? I got an email. Where's that email right now? It's in the save box. Well said. The Talmud said, Rebbe, I thought of you. Here's what happened. This guy lives in Kew Garden Hills in an apartment with his wife. They don't have so much money. They can't afford to run the air conditioner, you know, 24/7. They can't afford it. So at night, they sleep without air conditioning. They have fans on. Okay, that could happen. Morning, it's hot though. He gets up to go to Minyan, and he makes sure to turn on the air conditioner around 20 minutes before his wife gets out of bed. So when she gets up, the house is cooler. Got that story? That's a good story. You see what's happening here? He took the Rav Moshe Feinstein nonverbal communication for parenting and applied it to Shalom Bayis. Wow. Beautiful story. I mean, you could use a Shabbos clock too, but whatever. I don't want to. Okay, anyway. So, okay. I'm just thinking out loud. Anyway, whatever. Got it? Now, nonverbal communication. My mother, she lived and be well. She's like, you know, wonderful mother. Baruch Hashem. My mother makes fun of me. What does she say? Benji, 40 years ago, we didn't have all these books. And you quote the books and read the books. What's my answer? What do I say? I say, Mom, you're a natural. You don't need the books, but the rest of us do. That's what I tell her. Yeah, yeah. Okay, here. So my mother would make me lunch every day. Sandwich, peanut butter and jelly or tuna, a peeled orange, an apple peeled, an apple juice box, and two Hershey Kisses every day. Do you know what Hershey Kisses are? Oh, good. They're not Cadbury, but they're Hershey. So that's one small example. That's an example. You make your kids lunch every day. You know what they like. And you try to remember to put in their lunch something nice like that. It's a very nice thing. Got it? Okay. Second example, which is more potent. I was in Israel for 6 years, 1982 to 1988. That shows I have special parents. That was back in the Stone Age. BAI, before the age of internet. BAC, before the age of cell phones. Nothing. We survived. I spoke to my parents once a week. My mother called every week around 11:05 p.m. Israel time. Why did I want to get a phone call 11:05 p.m. Israel time? To get the first take on the 1 o'clock games, Sunday 1 o'clock football games, which ended around 4 o'clock. You're saying, what? Take out your BlackBerry, go to ESPN.com. You can follow the game play by play, right? Game Center, Game Pass, Game Center, whatever it's called. Okay, back then we didn't have that. For those 6 years, I received on average 4 to 5 handwritten letters a week from my mother. Is that clear? What I just said? 4 to 5 letters a week for 6 years in Israel. That's incredible. It's a lot of postage. That's incredible. That's beautiful. Had I known I was going to be a teacher, I would have kept the letters, brought them to class, piled this high, and say, this is what it means to be a mother. That's what I would have done. This high, I don't know, I mean, how high would that be? Like 6 letters, I mean, it's unbelievable. Say, you got the story? Don't forget that story. That's a real story. Your kid goes to camp, you write him letters. Some camps allow cell phones, texting, it's not the same, but emails. Write them letters. They open up a letter, love, mom, mommy, whatever. Very, very good idea. That's nonverbal communication. If you meet my mother, so say to her, oh, Mrs. Ginsburg, you should know, your son mentions you in the same paragraph with
Rav
Moshe Feinstein's that song. Okay, good. Tell her. I tell her I do that. I said, Mom, okay, tell her. Anyway, guys, that's a good story. You got the story? Very important. It's good to write letters. What that mother was doing was a good thing. She was trying hard, but she was missing the mark because 2:21:10. You got it? Write letters to your kids. I write letters to my kids. First day of school, I put a little note in their teeth. Have a wonderful year. Grow on Torah, Yerushalayim, Olava. And some of them keep them, some of them don't. You got it? But you got it? It's good to write letters, but you have to know what the kid needs. Time. Nonverbal communication. Time. Oh my gosh. That's like number one. Kids need your time. And you have to give it to them. You can't fake it. You can't fake it. Either you give your kids time or you don't. And if you don't, your kids notice. Your time is limited. Okay? Gotta give your kids time. Talk to them every day. Listen to them every day. Important things are coming up. You gotta make time. What's the mushel? Big rocks?
Little rocks.
Remember that mushel? The president's room mushel. We discussed it. Yes, big rocks. We discussed big rocks, little rocks?
Yeah.
We discussed it. You gotta give your kids time. We'll discuss this again later. This is one of the major problems with the modern technological world of cell phones and Blackberries and smartphones and iPhones, because a lawyer comes home, a businessman comes home, and he spends a lot of his time at home checking his Blackberry and responding to emails. And all that time is instead of what? Instead of talking to his kids. Instead of learning is another thing. That's another shiur. That's Sunday. Come on Sunday. We're getting ready for Shavuos. Dr. Pelkowitz, chashuv, psychologist, educator, right? He's the head of YU, Azrieli. He's a very chashuv person. He did a study with a couple of other people about the amount of time parents spend talking to their kids. And over the last 15 years, it's like way, way, way down. The answer is because of cell phones. Turn off your cell phone when you get home. What? Okay, I'll say it again. Turn off your cell phone when you get home. Shut down the BlackBerry. I'll lose my job. Well, I don't want you to lose your job. I don't think you lose your job. You got to say to yourself, do I really need to do this? Do I really need to do this? Or, turn off the cell phone from 7 p.m. till 11:30. Till 11, till 10, when your kids go to sleep. You know, the older kids go to sleep later. You got it? They're going to notice. Okay, one second. They're going to notice right away. They notice. Especially, I'm going to jump ahead here. Oh, I mentioned letters. Good. Dinner. Oh, my gosh. Dinner. Turn off the cell phone during dinner. And, write this down, capital letters. Don't answer your phone during dinner. Mitch Hashem, you're older, married, family, and you're zochet to eat dinner with your family several nights a week. Not everyone does that. Some people are too busy. They work late, right? Most nights, I get home in time for dinner. Two nights a week, I don't get home in time for dinner. But three nights a week, I do. Okay? It's unfortunate. You're sitting there with your kids, your family at dinner, and the phone rings. Don't answer the phone. Think about it. You're sitting there with your kids, talking about your day in school, and the phone rings. You answer the phone. What's the nonverbal communication? Whoever that phone call is more important than you.
Why?
But it might be important. Well, number one, it's probably not as important as spending time with your kids. Number two, you have an answering machine. Number three, you have call waiting. Caller ID. You're in the modern world. It can wait. Sometimes, lo'aleinu, somebody's sick in the family, there are exceptions. If the exceptions happen every day, they're not exceptions anymore. I'm telling you. Either you are a non-phone answering family during dinner family, or you're a phone answering family during dinner, whatever I was trying to say. You understand? Either you are or you're not. Who decides? You do. I can't. Are you listening? This is very important. What I'd rather do is turn the phone off during dinner. I know a chashuv, a rebbetzin, who does that. That's your family's custom for a long time. The phone is detached during dinner. Wow. Okay. Different opinions about that. Is that clear? You're training your kids. Oh, dinner? I have imanah to ourselves. Now, your kids might not want to talk to you. They'd rather eat for 2 minutes and go play ball. They'd rather eat for 2 minutes and go play a game they're playing, which is allowed. They're allowed to play. But that they should know that you're there to talk to them and listen to them. Crucially important, cannot be emphasized, cell phone thing. I'll tell you one more story. There's a chashuv rav, Rabbi Doctor, Meir Wickler. He writes shlita, he writes articles. He said, listen to what he said. He said, when you're sitting with one of your kids talking to them, you keep your cell phone on. And you hope somebody calls. So you can say to your son, oh, I just got an important phone call. I'm not going to answer it now. I'm talking to you. You hear? Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. I put like a big star when I wrote it down. He gave a shiur once on my show. You hear that? You get less. It's a parenting help. You call me at 8:20. Sorry. Great story. So that's the other angle. That's the other angle. So he said, leave it on. Doctor, don't answer. Ah. That's a chop. To me, that's a chop. Okay. Two more things. Listen. You have to listen to your kids when they talk to you. Listening means listen to your kids. The kid starts telling the story. You hear half this, or you jump in, you give your response. I'm smarter than my kid. I want to tell him. No, listen to the whole story. Let them explain themselves. Let them feel they can unload. Very important. You're training your kids. Either iman abba, listen, or they don't listen. And finally, we discuss dinner, letters, bedtime. Bedtime. If you're fortunate enough to be home for your kids' bedtime, take advantage. Sit there with them, read them a story. I'm holding. If I knew Shas half as well as I knew the Berenstein Bears and Magic School Bus and Clifford and Safta Simcha, I'd know a lot. Safta Simcha is a chashuva. Right now, we're in our third round of Safta Simcha. Every night a chapter. And we talk, and then my daughter goes to sleep. You're sitting with your son or daughter at bedtime, and your cell phone vibrates. Don't answer your cell phone. You're talking 5 minutes. It can wait 5 minutes. In those 5 minutes, you're training your daughter. You come first. Every night, I talk to you for 5 minutes, no matter, unless there's some sort of emergency. Kids know emergencies come up. But there is a norm in your house. The norm is, when I'm with my daughter, so I close the door, so it's more quiet in the room. Got it? We're not looking out to the hallway all the time. See what's happening here? You're setting a tone. The tone is, I'm here, I'm focused on you. Sometimes kids want you to like stay with them, like when they go to sleep. So you're allowed to check your cell phone then. In other words, you read to them, gave them a hug good night, and now they're reading in bed. You with me? And they want you there for security. So at that point, you're allowed to, text on your BlackBerry and stuff like that, because they just want you in the room, or you can learn. You with me? That's an important thing. These are many examples of non-verbal communication. Can't be emphasized enough. You got it? Question?